It's All Songs Considered. I'm Bob Boylan. On Friday, January 17th, a new album came out from Pine Grove. Marigold is the fourth record by this band of longtime New Jersey friends. But before that record came out, Pine Grove did something unusual. They released what they call Pine Tabs, musical tablature for all the songs on Marigold. And I'll say more about that in a moment, but there's another part of the Pine Grove story I need to talk about first. On this edition of All Songs Considered, a conversation between me and Pine Grove's main singer and songwriter, Evan Stevens Hall. Marigold is the first batch of songs written since the band went on hiatus in 2017 following accusations of sexual coercion made against Hall by a member of Pine Grove's crew. In a New Yorker article published this month, Evan Stevens Hall characterizes the band's hiatus as, quote, a period of intense self-reflection for him. He spent that year in therapy, and at the request of his accuser, the band went a full year without touring. Pine Grove fans are pretty passionate fans, and many have had mixed feelings about how to deal with the band. Some have walked away. I myself have been torn on this. I've loved the band's music, and I was also quite upset about the accusations. I feel Hall has spoken his feelings in clear, thoughtful ways over the past 2 years. And from what I've read, his accuser has not publicly objected to the band's return. If she had, I wouldn't have had this conversation. I understand that your feelings may be different from mine. I respect that. Those accusations and the way Evan Stevens Hall responded to them are part of the Pine Grove story now. You can read more about this story in the New Yorker, and there's also a Pitchfork article published in 2018. This conversation won't directly address the subject. What I talked with Evan Stevens Hall about is the songwriting process on Marigold and fan reactions to these songs through their interpretation of the music tablature. I see a great deal of enthusiasm from fans posting their Pine Tabs. So let me explain this Pine Tabs thing. Tablature is a way for a musician to learn the chords of a song. So say you know and love a song and want to learn how to play it on the guitar or piano. You can buy a music book or look online for what are called tabs. And then because you know how the song goes, you can start strumming the chords and singing the song. But in the case of the new album Marigold, Pine Grove released the tabs before the album came out, before anyone knew the songs, and that's where it gets interesting. Fans of the band took the chords and the words in tablature and started making up their own ideas of how the song should go. They made up the melody lines, guessing what the tempo might be, and these pine nuts, as some Pine Grove fans call themselves, took these pine tabs and started posting them online, in particular on Instagram. We have a number of those videos up online on the All Songs website. Evan explains the origins of these tabs.
I suppose the first thing to say about it is I write songs that are intended for people to sing along to and for people to learn how to play. And so we wanted to make that as easy as possible by just putting up accurate tabs for all of our songs on our website. That's step one. That was the impetus. But then we'd finished them before Marigold itself was set to be released, and we thought, how strange and interesting, given that tablature is the whole premise is kind of based on having heard the music, because that's sort of like half of the notation is your ears,
right? Because tablature is a guide, right?
Yes, exactly. It's a very accessible and ultimately kind of bare notational system for music, but it's meant to be playing songs that you already know. And so we were thinking, how strange and interesting would it be if these tabs were for songs that you didn't know?
So you put these into the world, expectations?
Exceeded. we didn't really know what to think quite. When it comes down to it, kind of an abstract project. Tablature does not notate tempo or, well, most importantly, melody. And so when people were taking their own crack at a song of their choice, they were making a lot of the decisions that a songwriter would be making. All that was given them were the lyrics and the chords and the relationship of those two. So when the chord changes with reference to the lyrics. But we had just an incredibly diverse and not to mention abundant range of submissions. We were so excited with how people responded to the project.
Let me play this one. It's from Frances of Delirium is her Instagram name, and she does a version of Alcove. So let's hear a bit of that. I want to hear her music because that's really good.
Oh, absolutely. And I'll also mention she did another rendition of the same song, similar melody, but a completely different phrasing. And I don't know. This one was my favorite for a lot of reasons. I think, first of all, she just wrote a good song. There's just really thoughtful, urgent, almost angular phrasing, which I think shows what this project does well. Like, there's no notation for when to change the chords, and she made really interesting decisions about when to do that.
Do you think that some of these people were channeling your spirit? Did you hear some of you? Because these are people, obviously, who are fans of yours and the band. Did you hear some of Pine Grove coming back at you?
Well, some of them were, ironically or coincidentally, however you want to put it, pretty similar to the song that I wrote.
Which they hadn't heard yet.
Which they hadn't heard yet. But more than anything, I think I heard them coming through. It's just such a light, a lightly colored lens that I'm providing them. And so it's more of themselves than of me. That was especially evident when you saw people submitting multiple ones. It's like, wow, all of these sort of sound the same, and they don't sound like Pine Grove.
I'm going to play, the album's only been out a few days, and people may not have heard the original, so let's play some of that. The words of this song are so beautiful and thoughtful, and I thank you for that.
Thank you.
The thought and origins of this song for you?
Well, so I like to write albums kind of all together, and I'd say that each song is trying to offer a different perspective on one of the main themes of the album. And so this is a song that I see about, I think it's about hibernation. More broadly, Marigold is a lot about patience. Marigold, the album, that is. So this is about a long winter for a flower.
You probably learned a lot about marigolds doing this record? And is it where you live in, I assume it's more rural landscape. Are there marigolds where you are, and that's why they popped into your head and your thoughts when you were writing this?
It's not so much that I encountered them in the wild. I was looking for a vivid yellow flower. I like to write albums that are in response to our previous work, pretty much, or just like, you know, kind of in conversation with the body of work. And so we have our album Cardinal, and that is our red album, if you will. And then Skylight is blue.
Well, I haven't and so this I, yet.
And so it seemed incumbent on me to try to write a yellow one.
Is there anything metaphorical about a marigold?
I mean, yeah, sure.
I don't know much about marigolds, so I'm a city kid, so help me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no. I mean, I suppose any flower, there's the hibernation period of it. You know, there are different seasons to it, and so there's it's a more patient process, and it kind of, I think, exposes or maybe addresses the duality we all feel. You know, sometimes we feel horizontal and sometimes we feel vertical. sometimes we feel up and sometimes we feel down. Though in the course of talking to people about this album, I've learned that the Dia de los Muertos flower is the marigold because it allegedly smells strong enough to bring the dead back across the meridian and into life. So that turned out to just be extremely concordant with the themes that I was trying to ask about. So I was happy to learn that.
That's awesome. What? Let's play another tab. You want to do another one of Alcove?
Sure. Maybe the Reina Yasmin one.
You didn't send her the original of this, did you? She kind of nailed it. I
mean. Yeah, absolutely. And I wonder how much, and this was a question throughout, how much the mood of the lyrics ends up dictating some musical choices. I mean, that's always on my mind, the conversation between what the words are saying and you know, how we're saying it texturally. Versus textually. So, you know, it's possible that we were able to occupy the same energetic space there from the way the lyrics made reference.
There was a fellow, well, actually, I think it was the daughter who heard her dad do a version of Alcove, and he's not such a big Instagrammer. She posted the song for him. His name, I think his name is Garth. And yes. Can I play some of it? Because that was another world there. So let's play a little Garth here.
I'll go if you want. I'll cove in the dark. I'll go if you want. I'll cove in the dark. I'll cove in the dark. Yellow marigold, all folded up in the front.
This fellow fingerpicked, which is something that felt surprising to me. How about you?
Yeah, it was great. I mean, he made a lot of extrapolations and kind of artistic decisions with the skeleton that was provided. He took the liberty of repeating certain lines and, yeah, made this lovely fingerpicking pattern, which all led to him making the song that he wanted to hear, I have to guess. So very much in the spirit of the project.
Would you think to ever reach out after the fact to any of these folks to, I don't know, conversation, thought?
Well, yeah, I'm curious, certainly, to hear more about people's process and just kind of to talk about songwriting. It's basically my favorite topic to talk about, though I haven't reached out to anybody.
Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. Let's talk when we come back from the break
about your songwriting process. I'm talking with Evan Stevens Hall of the band Pinegrove, and you're listening to All Songs Considered from NPR Music.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Kay Buxbaum in support of the David Gilkey and Zabiula Tamana Memorial Fund, established to strengthen NPR's commitment to training and protecting journalists in high-risk environments. Support for NPR comes from Newman's Own Foundation, working to nourish the common good by donating all profits from Newman's Own food products to charitable organizations that seek to make the world a better place. More information is available at newmansownfoundation.org.
It's All Songs Considered. I'm Bob Boylan. I'm talking with Evan Stevens Hall. He's in New Jersey. I'm here in Washington, D.C. We were talking about the songwriting process.
Do you schedule, like, get up in the morning and have to put something on paper? Is it even paper? Is it when it comes? How do you like to work? How does your best stuff come to be?
How does my best stuff happen? I think the very best stuff happens spontaneously, yeah, without plan. I'm doing something else that only requires a small part of my brain, something mechanical, maybe driving, maybe walking. Yeah. And then ambiently in the background, my brain is still working on solving a song puzzle. And then, at least from my perspective, it just sort of spontaneously appears in the foreground of my consciousness, which is, you know, what a nice present that is. And I'm thinking too of the poet Wallace Stevens, who would walk to and from work and would compose there and compose back. I kind of relate to that. I think my best songs happen while walking. Then step two is, because they don't arrive fully formed, you have to kind of poke at the corners of it and, you know, to shift it around in your hands, see how many sides this shape has, see what shape the shape is. Recently, I have been working in longhand, writing with a pen on paper. And I think that suits my mind best. And also, I mean, what a constant struggle it is against the digital distractions. I find that if I'm writing on my cell phone, and I do, if it's the only thing that I have in the Notes app.
Yeah.
But I'm less likely to push a idea as far as it will go, because there's just like a tiny bell in the side of my head that's ringing, telling me to check one of my favorite social media apps or something. Right. You know, it's very impulsive, and it interrupts an idea. It makes me not go as deep as I probably would if there were no other distractions. So it's paper for me.
I want to do another one. Can we do a different song?
Sure.
I want to play your version first of the opening track of the record called Dotted Line. And then I want to play the Paul Yoon music version of it.
Ignore the wreckage on the shoulder. I cross the border into New Jersey, where a dotted line from my antenna says, another day in the polar vortex. Do I do my thing and just keep my head down? Or do I eclipse back to
Did anyone try to be a band, by the way? Or were they all fairly solo tabs, by the way?
Yeah, we had really diverse submissions. There were some people who seemed to have recorded themselves over themselves, kind of, you know, bedroom recording style, where they are their own band. And then some people recorded a live version of multiple people playing together, and sometimes not even multiple people. There's one that's a band of an off-screen human and an on-screen dog who's singing. So I was very impressed with that.
We have to play that, by the way, that dog thing. In fact, everybody sit tight because we're getting there. let me play Paul Yoon's version of this.
Great.
And by the way, the sound of the band on that song just grabbed me, and the drums in particular were just amazing.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
On the shoulder, across the border into New Jersey, where a dotted line from my antenna says, may no fantasy hold my just another day in the polar vortex. Do I do my thing and just keep my head down? Or do I eclipse back to Atlanta? No, may no fantasy hold my.
You know, I just had this thought that it would be an awesome thing, and no answer necessary here, which would be to get these people up on stage to open the show where they do one of your songs and one of their songs, and it would just be, I don't know, just struck me as being a heartwarming thing to do. But
oh, I think that'd be so great. Yeah, it's some live Pine Tab. I think
exactly.
It's a good idea.
Yeah. Paul Yoon. Anything about what he did to Dotted Line that either made you think differently about the song or just you appreciated?
It was such a sensitive rendering. I loved the finger-picking pattern. I loved... it moved me. It moved me. I could hear that in his voice that he connected with something with it, and I connected to that. I mean, what better way to build community than to, you know, this reciprocal and mutual emotional connection.
That actually is the beauty of going to Pine Grove shows, is the community that is formed and the people singing along. And do you remember the first time that happened? I love going to a show where a band is new and they've come and they've played a show. I remember this with Sylvanesso, where they came, played a little club, DC9 in DC. It was, you know, Coffee, the song had just come out, and probably for the first time people are singing back their songs to them. As a songwriter performer, do you remember that moment? It just seems like it would be a memorable thing.
Well, it happened pretty gradually. Like I think it started first in Montclair. There's a basement venue called the Bat Cave where we would play a lot. You know, it started first with maybe the first three rows of people, right, whoever had pushed to the front, because they were enthusiastic about our set and they're familiar with our recordings.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, how surprising and exciting and affirming when there's a whole crowd of people connecting with the music. I've been thinking about this a lot lately, you know, what it means for me to write songs in the first person that then other people are singing, also, of course, in the first person. You know, I want people to be able to inhabit what I'm writing. And then there's also just what do we call it grammatically when there are a lot of people singing in the first person? Is this the first person plural? Is this some sort of, you know, communal I?
I love that. I think you nailed it right there, the communal eye. When you put a song in the world, do you care? Do you want the original intent of your song to be understood by those listening? One of the beauties of songs for me is that I don't know. I mean, it'll hit me and mean something inwardly to me. And I wonder, as a songwriter, especially this song, which is so personal and thoughtful, I just wondered whether you care. I mean, there's going to be people who have no idea who Pine Grove is. They're going to pop up algorithmically on their thing, and they're going to hear this song, and they'll take it that way. And then there are people who know you and know the last couple of years of your life and will take it that way. Do you care?
Well, I want to resist a strictly autobiographical reading, because I think that, in a sense, that limits the scope of what I'm trying to do. It's my hope that someone can find themselves in the music. It's intended as kind of an emotional Rorschach, if you will, where whatever somebody needs, hopefully they can find it in one of our songs.
That's beautiful. So, the most surprising singer of all of the is how do I get into this? So,
very good singer too. So when I was watching this, I felt so emotional. There was heart in it. You can really tell.
I'm sneaking it in here. Here it is. This is a version of Marigold. I believe. God, I want that album.
I know. It's definitely at the vanguard of interspecies ensembles.
Do you know anything about this dog and this performer?
No, I want to know this dog's name. They didn't include the name in the tag, so I don't know. Who is this mystery dog? If you're listening out there and you are this dog, please contact Pinegrove. You have an open invitation, no expiration date on this invitation.
Perfect. By the way, the user was D. Thomas Hall, but is that true, or is that just a repost that I saw?
Oh, yeah, that's true. No relation as far as I know.
You're in your father, D. Hall?
Yeah, he is.
Right. Yeah, okay.
He is. It's a coincidence. Yeah.
Whoa. Okay. This has to happen. You all have to find one another now, for sure.
Yeah. Family reunion. Yes. Right. I guess alternatively, if you're listening to this and you're a long-lost relative, please please make contact.
Your dad and Nick and Zach's dad play on this record. What are they playing? What song are they on?
A few. My dad's playing piano on maybe four songs, including Dotted Line, Endless, Neighbor, and then... So his name's Doug Hall.
Yeah.
And then Mike Levine is playing pedal steel on a number of tracks, but so is Nick Levine. So at this point, and then Josh is playing slide guitar. So it's kind of indiscernible from as far as just, you know, that musical slip and slide sound.
Right.
I don't know who's playing what at this point. But, you know, thanks to all of them for their brilliant contributions.
So amazing that the two dads played and then the two sons play. I love that. I wonder how many generations this will go, huh?
yeah, who knows. Well, my grandmother, my dad's mother was a pianist. Some of my dad's earliest memories are sitting underneath the piano when my grandmother, his mother, would play at night. And so I wonder if osmotically, if you will, that's how it got into his brain and into his fingertips, and then I inherited the itch too.
Amazing. I'd like to go out on the instrumental that ends the record, Marigold, and you hadn't done anything that I know of like this before. Is that, first of all, is that just you? And then how did that come to be in choosing that also as an ending piece?
I intended for listeners to be dropped into kind of an affirming emotional space at the end of the record, acknowledging that there is something kind of challenging about what the listener has taken through in this record. And so there's that, but then also just the acknowledgement that algorithmically there's going to be another song right at the end of our album. And so I wanted to intentionally make space for reflection at the end of the record. I made this song with Nick and Sam. It started in my brain, but we all kind of, there were a lot of creative and technical decisions to figure out how to make it sound like, well, like the petals of a flower.
Hmm. That's beautiful. I love talking to you and truly love your music and look forward to seeing you again perform these songs.
Thanks so much, Bob.
Evan Stevens Hall, the new album by Pine Grove is called Marigold. Let's go out on the title track, what is also the closing track to the record. I'm Bob Boylan for NPR Music. It's All Songs Considered.